Well, we don't have testimonies this afternoon, but my testimony leads into this message. And last Sunday, if we all remember, Jean got sick in the afternoon. But we're supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And what came to me was the Holy Spirit brought back to my heart and my remembrance, what did Jean preach about? Jean preached about be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He said, whatsoever things are true and of a good report and virtue, all these things, those are the things we're supposed to be thinking on. And after all this happened, it was so fast. It was like the Holy Spirit, when I was in the car, brought that back to me. Did you just think Jean Penny was just preaching up here, reading the Word of God? That's where we're going to really sway away from things. We need to hear the pastors, the preachers, the teachers. We need to hear the word that God has prepared for the hearts of them so they will know truth. And he lights our path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And if you just think back each one, what were we all saying? What came on our hearts? What was it? But how many of us even said anything about the scripture? I thank God because he said, be anxious for nothing. There are so many promises that God is showing. You know, people, even today, we've been told he's risen. He's coming again. He's coming. We've heard there's a first rank. We want to be the out from among the resurrected ones. And if you see that, that's a privilege that God has already told you that. So when you begin to see things come to pass, what are you going to do? We should be worshiping the Lord now for what he's saying to us. Exactly how Pastor got up here, preached the word for God. God gave him those words because he already knew what was going to come to pass. It should have been that all we had to do was pray and be anxious for nothing. But I'm glad that, remember he said, if you fall into divers temptations, times that you think, oh, I must do something, or I'm worried, or I'm doubting, or what's this going to do, and what's that going to do? That's basically how man handles things. Well, that's what happened in the chapter that we'll go to today. But then just remember, it's slow to speak, quick to hear. It's like you really don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. But we've been told what to do. Wait on the Lord. He already knew it. He already prepared us. What did we do with the preparation? It's no different than being called to be the bride. Or you see all these things we read in Timothy. As these days, as the day is approaching, there are going to be perilous times. So you don't have to be anxious about it. You've already been told by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. It witnessed. We've been told these things are going to come to pass. It shouldn't surprise us. Just like when I said about the people not here. Why would that be a surprise? Why would it be a surprise when he said there must come a fallen away first? Well, Jesus arose. But did he tell his disciples something before all this came to pass? He walked with them. He talked with them. He told them, I'm going to be put in the hands of sinners. They're going to do this to me. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. But he didn't leave it all in a death state. He came and said, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. Did everyone believe that? Maybe at the moment. Oh, those are words. You know, he's speaking and la, la, la. But then they go on with their lives. And then when it comes to pass, all these things that we've heard about redemption and Jesus dying, it was already prophesied in the Old Testament. Prophets, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, began to speak all these truths to us. Well, I want us, before we go there, I want us to look at Galatians 2. We were there this week in class, and it was in Galatians 2, this is where Peter is going to be withstood to his face, and Paul's going to rebuke him. He's gonna tell him right to his face. Now, what's he going to do? He knew better. That's why. He really knew. He said, if thou be a Jew, in verse 14, if thou be a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why are you compelling or telling the Gentiles they need to live like the Jews do? Peter, what are you doing that for? Okay, we, and who is in italics in my Bible? We are Jews. Peter, you were born a Jew. I was born a Jew. He said, we are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentile. And when you read that, I thought, wow, but how the Holy Spirit brought back to my remembrance in Romans, he put everyone on the same level. He talked to the sinner. He talked to them who knew what was right. They chose to do what was wrong. They heard the word of God, just like we're hearing it. But then you have the Pharisees or the Jews and the religious ones, the religious people. They think it's going to be by them doing and looking so good and doing everything right. He said, no, no, not by works, lest you're going to think you're going to boast. In Romans 3, he said, for all have sinned, everybody, and fallen short of the glory of God. We are here to bring glory to God. We cannot do it if we walk in the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They'll never work together. You may have one walking in the flesh. Well, what's the one in the spirit going to do? War with the flesh? When we already have heard in the word of God? We've already been blessed. We've been seated in heavenly places. We're a new creation now. We've been given armor. You can pray. Put on the whole armor, but it's of God, that you will be able to stand. That's the only way we'll stand, is if we do it God's way. And then he tells him, he said, knowing this, that a man is not justified. I don't care who they are or what they've ever done. Man is not justified by the works of the law. The law has, you can't do this, you shouldn't go there, you need to do that. Do you not think that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law? And I always think of that verse. It was not that the law was bad. It was we couldn't keep it. So God made a way, and he let Jesus take my place. He released me from that burden and that guilt of sin. And we'll see something about that. He said, by the works of law, but a change. By the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. It is not going to be by your works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh is going to be justified. And I wrote some of these down at home because I've heard this, I've done this, because I've gone, after everything I've done, I. And you'll remember systems, and I'm not going to just say Catholicism, because Catholicism has many daughters. That's not the only system going on. It's an organized system. Paul, he knew what it was like to be religious. It says, I built this, or I helped paint the church. I did this. I helped the poor this week. And that's good. If you did and you're led of the Spirit, that's wonderful. But I believe that when we've done this, it's like the Lord, he lays it on your heart. And it's like you just walk in him. He fed the poor. He's the one who did it. You're watching him. That's why it's glory just to walk with him. He's doing it all. Well, I canceled them this week. I gave them the word of God. I did this. Did you? Well, the word of God, well, it won't return void. But your reward can return void if you did it not in the resurrected man led by the Spirit. It's not of works. I pay my tithes. I pay my tithes. I bet that one only gives this much. Have you ever seen a church that had an offering plate? People, everybody's looking. How much person putting in there? I mean, I've been in those churches, and I've seen it happen. Why do we give it? Because it's not ours anyway. It's his. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They held back. They gave part, but they held back. I remember the ones that was told, you get rid of all of them. And he says, well, why is that I hear the bleeding of sheep? Oh, Lord, we kept the good for you. You see that goodness of man? The best things we can offer you. We kept the good for you, but we got rid of the bad. He said, I don't even want your good flesh. Get rid of it. How? You're going to see. It's already done, but you have to count it done. He said, but while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? I'm alive now. I'm a new man. Is Christ going to sin? No. His seed cannot sin. That's who you're born in. That's the seed of the living Son of God. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You know, it's like by just when you saw the cross, and I saw this so different this week. When Jesus went to the cross, even before he went to the cross, he told them what was going to happen. And then it all came to pass. And they're all weeping. And of course they are. They're weeping because they hurt for him. But there's also, when he tells them, I'm going to rise again, he gave them hope beyond that. So they would be able to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He went to the cross. My sin was nailed to that cross, not his. He had a body of a man of sin, and he went to the cross. He became as I was, and now he was identified with my sin. Now he's my head. I'm identified with him as the new head of a new creation. I'm identified. When you show your identification card, you said, here's my ID. I died with Christ. I was buried with him, but I didn't stay in that grave because the power of God, if the same Spirit dwells in you, can he not quicken your mortal body? He didn't say you. He said him. He's going to make you alive in Christ. And he said, why would I want to build again the things which I destroyed? I, through the law, here it is, I am dead. Dead to the law. When did you die to the law? I asked someone yesterday, well, so when did you die? You died on the cross. You died, he took your place, but you must reckon he died for me. That was my sin that was nailed to the cross. Whatever thing is too hard for you, he nailed it to the cross. All that guilt that we try to carry around. He said, I already nailed it to the cross. The law demanded you be this holy person. But always remember, self-righteousness, okay? The Lord had me write down righteousness, and I went, righteousness. And right after righteousness, it was the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have self-righteousness, it's self-righteousness. Filthy rags. No good. May look good to the flesh, but it's filthy rags. But always remember the word that's in there, right. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. You may make it look so great, but that doesn't mean it's accepted of God. We need to know our attitude before our Heavenly Father, that all things we do it as unto Him. You don't expect any praise of anyone, because if you do, you're going to get hurt. You'll learn, I will not let you depend on that. Not that it's wrong, but I will not let you. You're mine. I've loved you. My banner over you is love. I want you firm. I want you standing in the love of me. My body will love you as I lead them. And if they don't, that's between them and the Lord. That has nothing to do with me or you for anything you've ever done. And I'm just telling you because I believe we've all done it. Let someone come and hurt you so bad, and you go, after everything I did, after everything I've given them, you can even hear pastor, after all the word of God they heard, after all that I gave them, where are they? Did you do it unto them, or did you do it unto Christ? You see, you did it as unto the Lord. What they do with it is in their heart before the Lord. You don't have to carry that burden. You can rest in the Lord and know He will take care. So I looked and it says, right here it said, I was dead to the law because Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it for me. For I through the law am dead to the law, now that I may live unto Christ. There's Romans chapter 6. That double reckoning. You reckon that you're dead, but now you're indeed alive unto God. You're alive. I am crucified with Christ. When? On the cross. You were nailed to that cross in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. So where is boasting then? Where is glory then? You're boasting in the Lord and everything He's done. Just like when He sanctified you, He set you apart. He did it, and He's doing it in practicality. You will never be sanctified in the practical walk unless you believe what He says. He giveth the grace, and He giveth more grace. That all you'll be able to boast in is, He gave me the grace, the strength. He said, I am with you, but I want you to abide in me. Draw from me. I am the life. You see, I'm the vine. You're the branches. But when you abide in me, you're drawing from me. You know, I went over and I was looking in Joshua, and it said, my servant is dead. In Exodus 34, Moses died. But it was typical of the law. Typical of the law. Christ fulfilled the law by one word. Then go to Joshua chapter 1, and you're going to see that every place the sole of your foot treads upon, he talks about, don't fear. Don't worry about anything. You're entering Canaan land. You've come up out of death. You've crossed over Jordan. And I love how all the teachers, but I loved how I really got it when Ray was speaking about those stones were put under. They didn't go back in and go get the stones and go, let me see what Sin Penny did, or let me see what this person did. No, it was to be remembered no more. And when we come up on the other side, I believe it said, the banks of Jordan overflowed. It overflowed. We came up in victory. Now you go into the heavenlies, Canaan land, you walk in, he said, I'm with you. He said, I don't want you to dread, I don't want you to fear. I'm gonna go over there real, here it is, Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke to Joshua. Okay, what's Joshua gonna do with the words he hears? Because some stuff's gonna happen afterwards. What is he gonna do? He spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. He did what I asked him to do. He showed the law, showed that you needed a redeemer, okay? And you know now you do. It's not gonna by works of man. It's not going to be by your good works of charity, none of those. It's all by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And he said, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give them. You don't have to work for it. I gave it to you. But you got to walk. You got to possess it. You can't just profess it and think, well, I'll just sit here because God's going to make me victorious. And I'm a winner. You can't do that according to the word of God. You can count it with God, but I guarantee you he has to give you the grace that you're able to count it, reckon with him, that you can go forth and you can claim these things that are yours. Many people, they hear the word of God, as we shared in the beginning. Jean had given the word of God. What did we do with it? And that's not to chide anybody. It's, I think the Lord is training us. He's teaching us. When you hear a minister or a preacher give a message, you got to get rid of this one. You got to see and hear the word of God. You got to hear what God is telling you. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. I haven't given you a spirit of fear. You've got the spirit of power. You've got the power. Love, a sound mind. So then I went over to Luke 24. Let's see what they did. Upon the first day of the week, and I like these words, very early in the morning. Everybody was not there. Very early in the morning. Wonder what will happen on that glory dawning morning. They came to a sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found something. They found the stone was rolled away from the sepulcher. And what did they do? What have you done? Do you know the stony heart, that stone of unbelief? It's been moved. Are you entering into the promises of God? They entered in and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as there was, they were much perplexed. Okay. They were puzzled, like, whoa, where is he? Do you know in scriptures four times? He said it was going to happen. And now they're going, what is going on? And they were afraid. And they bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? There was messengers right there, shining garments. And they said, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Why are parents trying, if your children are walking in the flesh, what are you trying to do? Change the flesh? Parents, correct the kids for their flesh, for their flesh. Tell them the right way. Jesus died for you. He took all that. You don't have to yield to that anymore. When you're angry, pray to God. When these things come to pass, when you're tempted, pray to God. He understands every temptation you'll ever have. Instead of, I'm your mother, and you will listen to me. I got news for you. They will not. They will not. If they do, it's because they fear you, but it is not because they love you. That's not because they respect you. They don't want you to whip them. They don't want to be beat. They don't want to be hit. Do you want to? Do you like it if I come out and beat you with the word of God and say, you will do what I say? No. If there's a spanking, you do it in love. One of my worst words that were ever said to me, and I hate those words, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. I always wanted to say, well, then you bend over the chair and I'll beat you. I mean, that's just how bad those words hit my heart. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee? Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, he will rise again. And what happened? They remembered his words. That's exactly what happened to me last Sunday. Do you remember the message I gave you from the pulpit? And I go, okay, Gene preaching. No, I said, do you remember the words that I spoke to you through my messenger? And I said, yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious for nothing. It won't always be an easy road. And then what happens? Right afterwards, Jane got sick. Jane got sick. Did I remember? But the Holy Spirit, we've been told, I'll bring it to your remembrance at the time you need it. When I got in the car and was quiet and waited on the Lord, that was what I heard. You must begin to listen to the message. Don't get caught up in the messenger. The message, we're missing it. We've got to hear what the message is saying to us. He prepares us at the time, or he prepares you just before you have to go into it. He tells us aforetime. They did. They remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Well, look at verse 11. Their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they didn't believe them. I don't believe that. Don't think people won't do that to you. They will. Then arose Peter. Peter gets up. I like how Peter always does this stuff. He runs to the sepulcher and he stoops down. He sees the linen clothes and they're laying by themselves. He departed, but he's wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. What came to pass? Behold, watch. Two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together. Here they are. Now, just get in your mind. They're walking together and they're talking. And these two men, they're sad. They talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding, they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communication are these that have one to another? As you walk and you're sad, what is this talk you're doing? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known and heard the things that are come to pass there in these days? Were you not there? Did you not hear that Jesus of Nazareth, and I love Nazareth means a branch, He went to the cross, he was beaten, he died, and now he's rose again. Have you not heard any of this? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God, and I love the before God, and all the people. He was a witness of this truth. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. They crucified him. Where's their hope? You see, when you know that he's resurrected, he gave them hope to the story. Their hope is he has risen. You have a new life now. He has been there. He's been through everything. He's now your head. Every knee shall bow. Go to Revelation. Did they all bow? No. They were made to come to pass. They did. But a lot of stuff happened. I remember hearing that. I go, why in the world would they want to go through that? And they just went through this. We trusted. Now look, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. He did. And beside all this, today is the third day since all these things were done. Yea, and a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which was early at the sepulcher. And then you go down, and verse 25 and 26. Then he said to them, O fools. Remember, it's foolish to the flesh. The things of God, they don't understand them. O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And if you keep going down, you're going to see where he broke bread. He blessed it first. But I love 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. The Lord is risen and he appeared to Simon. Simon means hearing. Hear. Be led of the Spirit and have ear and ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Holy Spirit's here. He's with us. He's in us. We're to be letting him. He's in agreement with the word of God. Be led of the Spirit, and it'll all be in order. God's order. It won't be a man ordering anything. It'll all be the Lord. And if I brought you out of something, I'm not going to take you back into it. I've had some people that I knew got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they got caught up in that work. They go, well, I can't leave this. I can't leave because I have to convert some, maybe someone else. You know, maybe they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. What did he say in Revelation? Come out of her, my people. Do you know just that coming out from among is words spoke loudly? Why? Why are they not staying in Catholicism? Why did they leave? They've been here for 30 years. What a message to be preached. And how are they going to hear? Everything we just talked about, they fell in unbelief. And Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh. You will continue walking with God. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Faith will come. But you have to hear the word of God. And then you put it into action because you're being led by him to walk this way. Put it in action. It isn't you. I wish people would get it. It's not you doing it. It's Christ in you doing it. But you must yield. Why did he put yield? Yield to the truth. You can believe the truth all you want and just sit there. Why would you not want to walk and enjoy it? Go into Canaan. Don't look at the giant. There'll be giants there. There was. But he said, I'm going to drive them out, not you. I'll drive them out without fail. You just keep walking. Keep talking. Keep enjoying the Lord. And remember the words that I have spoken unto you. Okay. Kathy, you want to lead us, dismiss us in prayer?